Anthony, good morning.
Good morning, Tess.
So to start off with, before we even look at, I guess, cities versus regional centres, concrete bollards have been suggested as a way of preventing these attacks in the first place. Are concrete bollards the best way to go about preventing these attacks?
Well, of course, they do offer some level of protection, but it really depends, Tess, on the nature of the threat. If you're talking about an attack like it occurred in Nice on the promenade, yes, bollards at the end of the promenade would have prevented that attack. But in the case of what happened, for example, in Bourke Street in Melbourne, bollards probably wouldn't have been able to prevent the attack unless the entire city area was blocked off. But that would have been incredibly difficult because a vehicle would have been able to find its way around it. So, look, they're not a total solution. Obviously, in the case of a vehicle-borne bomb, you know, distance is your friend. So putting a bollard away from a potential to prevent vehicles from getting close to a target makes sense. But look, it's bollards aren't a complete solution, of course.
And so are there any issues that regional centres would face when it comes to counter-terrorism that perhaps cities and larger metropolitan areas wouldn't have?
Well, look, in regional centres, of course, they don't normally have the same level of access as to protective security or police or advice from security agencies. And I suppose the point that I'd make is that what we've seen overseas is it's not just major cities that are subject to terrorist attacks. And I think in Australia, we have invested a lot around protective security of our major cities. But regional centres, of course, do hold major events, whether it's major sporting events, music or writing festivals, Anzac Day marches and so forth. And so we do need to think now in an age of terrorism, what are the protective security arrangements like in these regional centres? And one of my concerns is that local government, which is really the principal form of governance in regional centres, local government hasn't been sufficiently engaged in national counter-terrorism planning as I'd like. I mean, there are over 560 councils in Australia, but there's never been any systematic attempt to try and engage them around some of the issues to do with protective security for counter-terrorism.
And so I guess just staying on the role of local governments when it does come to counter-terrorism, how do you think that we could go about engaging them more?
Well, at the moment, the peak body for councils in Australia is called the Australian Local ALGA, Australian Local Government Association, and I think the first thing to do is to get them directly involved in talking at the highest levels with our security and law enforcement agencies, get their concerns, bring in regional mayors to sit down with our security planners and talk through some of the issues. So I suppose my point is that at the moment, if you look at the higher-level counter-terrorism planning documents that are in the public domain, there's no mention of local government. And so I think first step really is both a top-down, that is for the top people to talk to the councils, and also bottom-up, the local councils, really to talk amongst themselves about what they think are the problems of securing mass events, mass gathering events.
And so I guess as well, in the short term, I don't know how long it would take to have this situation unfold where all the local governments are working together with counter-terrorism, but in a short-term solution, what do you think would be the best way to go about securing regional areas when it comes to counter-terrorism?
Well, I think the first thing, as I say, is probably to for the peak body. I think it's unrealistic, as you're intimating, for 560 councils to all sit down with you know, police and security agencies. But certainly the peak body that represents them, it's based in Canberra, should be able to engage with those that undertake risk assessment for counterterrorism and be briefed on what the major challenges are and how local councils can play a role. You see, for many of these local events, that it can sometimes attract thousands, sometimes tens of thousands of people, it's local government that works in association with the police to do the risk assessment. So it's local government that take on a lot of the responsibility here. And that's why I'm suggesting that it's been unfortunate that they've been overlooked when it comes to national planning for counter-terrorism.
It is definitely an issue that we will have to keep an eye on. But Anthony, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Thank you for having me, Tess.